This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition, specific to the Bucks bye week in week 7. It is presented for the second straight year by Brandon Legal Group. They are enormous supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. They buy the first foursome in every Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournament, including the upcoming Todd Wright Tour XXII, our first ever holiday spectacular, which will be December 14th at West Chase Golf Club. If you want information on how to play in Todd Wright Tour 22 or future golf tournaments, you can always email toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. It would also be an opportunity for you to meet my friends from Brandon Legal Group. Colin handles the accounting. He plays in every tournament. Jeremy handles the marketing. He plays in every tournament. Then either David or Danelle, lawyers from Brandon Legal Group, will be there. Sean rarely plays, but I very much appreciate Sean, as well as Ingrid, who I met at the Brandon Legal Group open house just a couple of weeks ago. And Tony Davis, let's just say friend of the Todd Wright Tour and Brandon Legal Group, often always plays in their foursome. Brandon Legal Group even had Tampa Bay area ambassador and former Channel 8 sports anchor Dave Reynolds on their team in Todd Wright Tour 21. They are very well connected. They are very well thought of by me. And they just want me to remind all of you that when you have a legal need, you can call them. And they are a full-service law firm. So you need not ask what type of law they specialize in. That's why they have so many different people in the office to help people like you. 844-4BLG4ME. 844-4BLG4ME. Or just visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Remember, you do not need to have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida, to have them help you. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. 844-4-BLG-4ME, Brandon Legal Group. So when I sit down with Brandon Legal Group, we actually started the spinoff edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast specific to the Bucks and their opponent each week. Two things that we talked about were, I'm not going to do a Week 17 episode because that enables those of you who stupidly play in leagues that use Week 17 to determine your fantasy championship. There are a lot of dumb things going on in our world, some of which, unfortunately, people like you and I have little control over. You playing in a season-long fantasy league where you use the Week 17 NFL games to solely or in part determine whether or not you win a fantasy championship is something you can control, and you need to stop doing it, which is why I refuse to do season-long fantasy podcasts for Week 17 NFL. I'm not going to enable you. Brandon Legal Group agreed. So then they said, well, what are you going to do during the bye week? And I said, well, the bye week, if nothing else, is just a chance to hit the reset button, since we don't have a game to talk about, nor a Bucks opponent to break down. So that's what I'm here to do. Through 6 weeks, the Bucks are a bad football team, as I expected, at 2-4. They have two more road games on this upcoming insane, 42-day. They're away from home for 49 days. It's 49 days between home games. It's so insane. Their breast cancer awareness game and marathon have to be done in November, which is not Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So they still have two more. They'll be going up against Tennessee next week and then traveling to Seattle, one of the best teams in the NFL, the following week. So they finish the long road trip with the only trip that's longer than a trip to London, which is a trip to Seattle, until there's an NFL team in Hawaii, which isn't happening anytime soon. So let's hit the reset button a little bit, position by position. Actually, first, let's talk about Chris Godwin, because he is clearly the Buccaneers MVP. to this point in the season. He has been as good as I've expected, if not better. We said during fantasy draft season, he was a solid wide receiver two choice. I saw him as draft season moved through mid-August, late August, and through Labor Day moving up on draft boards. I noticed he moved up, Dalvin Cook moved up, Nick Chubb moved up. All three have paid major dividends to those who drafted them. Godwin may still be a wide receiver two on the Bucs, but he is not only a wide receiver one in fantasy, he is the number one wide receiver in fantasy football. In leagues I commission, all the podcast leagues and my personal league, with my rules, which are standard scoring and more restricted scoring for quarterbacks, kickers, and with the tight end non-mandatory, Godwin is number one. As a matter of fact, through 6 weeks of fantasy play, Godwin is overall number 13. He is behind nine quarterbacks, which I've talked about in the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. The significance this year of having the right quarterback, that the zero quarterback draft model may be dead, and having especially one of the top three or four. Now, one of those was Mahomes, and he's now out probably a month, if not longer. But behind the top nine quarterbacks and the top three running backs, McCaffrey, Cook, Chubb, there's Godwin. Godwin ranks ahead of then five running backs in a row in my scoring: Aaron Jones, Mark Ingram, Austin Eckler, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott. He's been as advertised. He plays hard in wins. He plays hard in losses. He runs routes even Jameis can trust. He catches balls thrown his way, doesn't drop them. He plays hurt. He's had a hip issue for weeks. They rest him usually Wednesday, sometimes Thursday. So he's ready to go and go full speed come the game on Sunday. So Godwin, not only team MVP, but certainly the best fantasy player. And through 6 weeks, there hasn't been a more productive, more consistent fantasy wide receiver in the entire league than Chris Godwin. Mike Evans has been more of a wide receiver too. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. For those of you that have Evans and didn't get Godwin, you're like, well, I'm not getting the production I expected. Well, okay. But you know what? Considering there aren't a lot of true wide receiver twos out there, especially when you've got wide receiver twos like Godwin and Boyd producing more like ones, Evans falling into more of a wide receiver two spot, it's okay. It's okay. Now, on your individual rosters, if you have Evans, if you don't have Boyd or you don't have Godwin, or let me give you some other examples, if you didn't pick up DJ Chark, still amazingly on waivers in a number of leagues, he is wide receiver number two in my standard scoring systems. Number two for the year. He's had one bad game. It was last week. It was against the Saints, whose defense has forced their last three opponents to have bad games. And then Amari Cooper, by the way, is the number three wide receiver, now may or may not play in the Sunday night game against the Eagles. But back to Evans. Sure, he's been inconsistent, but relative to some wide receivers taken ahead of him, Devontae Evans didn't put up a big game until week four, and then he got hurt at the end of that game, and he hasn't been back since. He's also going to probably miss week seven. which will be three in a row for those of us who drafted Adams. DeAndre Hopkins hasn't scored a touchdown since he had two in week one. Hit 15 targets last week, did not score. Will Fuller has been on the receiving end of potential touchdown throws. Granted, he dropped three of them last week after catching three of them the previous week. Odell Beckham Jr. owners are not getting wide receiver one value other than that one, 87-yard catch and run to put the Jets away in a horrible Monday night game a few weeks ago. So the point I'm making is that, relatively speaking, if you're an Evans owner, I sense your disappointment. Some of you might have made a homer pick there anyway, but it's not that bad relative to the other perceived wide receiver ones in draft season. You're still doing okay, and you should still going forward do okay. If you just say, well, Godwin's taken all of Evans' targets. They run different routes. They play different positions. I know they technically both play wide receiver, but it is different. So Evans going forward for you at least is still someone you can write in the lineup every week, which is more than some owners can do with players that they drafted in the early rounds that for various reasons they have pulled out of the lineup, or now they're mixing and matching based on what they have on the rest of the roster or based on opponent. For those of you that invested in O.J. Howard thinking he and not George Kittle was the third best tight end in the NFL, by now you've probably cut O.J. Howard. And if you haven't, it might be time to do so. He's not worth the roster spot. He's also playing what I deem an almost irrelevant fantasy football position in tight end, especially if you modernize your league like I always tell you to do and make it a wide receiver tight end flex. I think O.J. Howard's best game this year was a three-catch game, and the only catch that made highlight reels this year was the one in the stands at the American League Division Series. I don't see this changing. The presence of Cameron Brate also means this isn't changing. Running back, Peyton Barber, again, has been exactly what I thought he would be. Relatively nothing. And in recent games, the Bucs have even trended towards giving Ronald Jones more of a workload because Ronald Jones has at least shown flashes that Barber simply has never shown. The problem is that Jones's fantasy numbers are not at the level to give you a high enough floor on a weekly basis for you to start putting him in the lineup consistently. He's fringe roster worthy, which we can't say about Barber. And he's one of those that you play, I think, in certain situations, or you hope that there are some games coming up where the Bucs play from a lead and can use him more, or an opponent that's just really, really awful defensively that helps the Ronald Jones game flow and him touch the ball more. And then there's Jameis Winston. Now, my leagues make it more difficult for quarterbacks to score. And specifically, my foundation league, I raised the threshold for quarterbacks from 250 yards for 10 points to 300 yards for 10 points. I also have pick six penalties. For every pick six you throw, you lose 4 points. Just like for every touchdown you would throw, you gain 4 points. To me, that is sensible. That reflects the actual game we watch. So because of that, Winston is lower in my quarterback scoring rankings than in most fantasy leagues. But he's still 10th. That still makes him QB1 worthy in, say, 12, 14 team leagues, which is why great fantasy minds like Matthew Berry and others always talk about good Jameis, bad Jameis. And I talked about in August how there were a couple of teams out there that I thought would be really messy, but basically good fantasy teams. What did I tell you they were? The Minnesota Vikings and the Atlanta Falcons. I said, I don't view these teams as Super Bowl contenders. I think they're trending in the wrong direction. They're going to go through a year where they're going to have to make some hard decisions on players that or coaches, and that's exactly what's happening. Minnesota with a future of Kirk Cousins, Atlanta with a future of the coaching staff. But just because teams stink on the field or have distractions doesn't mean they can't play fantasy football for us. And that's exactly what they've done. We've already mentioned Dalvin Cook. He's RB2 through 6 weeks. For people that invested in Adam Thielen, it's starting to pay off. For those that were patient with Stephon Diggs, it certainly paid off a couple of weeks ago. In Atlanta, Matt Ryan is 6 for 6, throwing for 300 yards. Six games, six 300-yard games. Because he really doesn't have a running game to speak of. And he has plenty of guys to throw to. Austin Hooper's having a good year. Calvin Ridley has run some dynamic routes, and he still has Julio Jones. So the point being that while Atlanta and Minnesota are teams you look at and say, well, yeah, they're not the Patriots, they're not the Chiefs, they're not the 49ers, they're not, and the 49ers are a great example. Now, I think the 49ers are a fraud. To me, they're not a Super Bowl contender, and if they make the playoffs, I think they're one and out. I'm waiting for the Niners to deal with adversity, and I don't think they can handle it. Because fantasy-wise, there's nothing there other than the George Kittle I expected and not the insomnia around George Kittle that many of you had during draft season. Because he still plays the practically irrelevant tight end position. So the point on Winston is he's a fantasy quarterback. And in leagues that don't penalize for pick sixes, which you should, Jameis's numbers are even better than in my league where he's quarterback 10. The 9 quarterbacks better in fantasy than Jameis in my leagues going into week 7, Wilson, Jackson, Watson, Mahomes, Ryan, Prescott, Murray, Brady, Wentz. Okay, so that's the list. So yeah, Winston is worthy of playing in bigger leagues unless you have one of those guys above him. Now, Winston is just ahead of Minshew, who is just ahead of Aaron Rodgers, who has really frustrated his owners this year. A lot of that is linked to the Davante Adams injury and to Matt LaFleur and this new coaching staff. But Aaron Rodgers is winning. He got what he wanted, which was anyone but Mike McCarthy, so Rodgers is kind of keeping his mouth shut these days. Because in the end, if Aaron thinks he can get to another Super Bowl, he'll go with it. And it's playing out that way, and the refs certainly helped last Monday night too. So that all said on Jameis, he is roster worthy. Maybe some weeks you play him at quarterback, and for those of you that carry two quarterbacks, maybe some weeks you don't play him. You're obviously not playing him this week. I see him go on and off waivers in the leagues I commission. It's usually 50-50. But even bad Jameis can be good in fantasy. Just as bad Falcons are good in fantasy, bad Vikings can be good in fantasy. It was bad for Diggs and Thielen there for a while and is now getting better. You can always email me your fantasy questions and include your own opinions on things you're asking me about because I want to know what you're thinking. And then I'll tell you if I agree or disagree and then give you a second opinion. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Remember to follow me on Facebook. I'm Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida, or on Instagram at ToddWright2019. If you have interest in playing in my golf tournaments, including the upcoming Holiday Spectacular, that is Todd Wright Tour XXII at West Chase Golf Club December 14th, email ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin Edition, presented by Brandon Legal Group, 844-4-BLG-4-ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com.